Welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Jeremy Wendt. Today, talking with several faculty members and assistant principal of All Good. So, All Good Elementary, correct? So, let's just start with who you are and what you do at All Good. So, let's start with you, Ms. Gall.
Beth Gall. I'm the assistant principal. I just finished year 40, but the last 10, I am the assistant principal, and I hope to continue.
I am Keisha Johnson, and I teach kindergarten. And I'm starting year 14.
I'm Jill Williams. I teach third grade, and this is my 26th year.
26th year. Okay. All right. Well, thank you all for coming out today. We appreciate it. So I've inherited this show from several people, but we talk education, so we have Local Matters every morning. So I appreciate you coming to talk education. I talk with a lot of educators, directors, principals, the lunch crew. So we have lots of good discussions about education. So. My first question that I always start with for everyone is, who was your favorite teacher growing up? And so if any of you grew up in Cookeville? Okay. So it could be a Cookeville teacher, could be a Tennessee Tech teacher, professor, could be anybody. So let's start with you, with your favorite teacher.
Well, Miss Allen, that taught fourth grade at the old Allgood Elementary School, which is now White Plains. She was just always kind to everyone, and it never made the content seem like a struggle because she was very patient.
Mine would be Sharon Smith, who just retired from Capshaw. I had her for kindergarten, and she was the one who set the bar high for everyone else.
Okay.
Mine was Tony Mantone, fifth grade. He was the first male teacher I'd ever had. He was an artist. He dressed up every time he introduced a new topic. So he would be an Egyptian king, or he would be Abraham Lincoln, or he would be somebody like that every time he introduced a new topic. And he was by far, still to this day, I remember him. I can still remember what he looks like.
Yeah, very, very memorable.
Mm-hmm. And he loved to garden and paint. So, I mean, he was just very different from any teacher I'd ever had before.
Yeah. We need more male elementary teachers.
Absolutely.
I don't know how to get them. I don't know how to get them more for elementary. I'm always working. I'm always trying, looking for angles, though. Any angles that I can figure out to recruit more teachers in general, but definitely for males in elementary. So, do you all find any of those teachers that were memorable? Do you find yourself doing some of the things that they did? Channeling those teachers?
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just one of those that, like, when I'm, because I also teach kindergarten, so I think back of, okay, when I was in that class, what did she do that made me so excited? And it was just little things. Like, I can remember we one day got to ice cookies, and for some reason that was so exciting. And so, like, I can see the joy in my kids, and I just remember how exciting it was. So I want my kids to have that same excitement.
I was never bored in his class, and I don't want my kids to be bored. And I dress up sometimes, but I do lots of room transformations. I try to change it up all the time and just engage them by doing the things that I like to do and just wanting them to love learning and come into my classroom and be ready to learn and be excited to be there, but also know that we're going to have a good time, but we're going to work our tails off too.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Allen, of course, Jill can testify since she used to be across the hall from me. She sang a lot in the content. Mm-hmm. And so luckily there was a book that was called Singing Our Skills, and it had a song about nouns, a song about verbs. And if there wasn't a song, I made up one. And then we made up motions and dances, and she would post index cards around the room instead of just giving us a worksheet. So it was engaging practices that I sought to always find a way to make it fun and a lot of movement in my learning.
Mm-hmm. And that keeps it fun. And that's, you know, so many times you hear those stories of those teachers that had influence, especially those of us that were in the classroom, seeing that come through and have an impact. It's always fun to talk about those. So how did you get into teaching? Did all of you come straight in, like, from the time you were little, like, I'm going to be a teacher and I'm lining up my brothers and sisters, or did you get into teaching a different path?
I always babysat, and so I always really loved kids, but my father's in the healthcare profession, so he tried to encourage me to do physical therapy or something like that. So I started out in pre-physical therapy, and then I changed my major to secondary education Spanish.
Okay.
Did one practicum and was like, I can't do this. They are the same. They look exactly like I do.
Yeah.
So, and they did, and it just was not for me. And so I came into elementary, and my mom teaches. My grandfather was a coach, and my grandmother was a principal and a physics teacher. So I just kind of have always had those influences in my life, but just thought, this is where I need to be. This is what I like to do. I like little people, so I need to be
it's
with
a good
them.
Thing, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
I was actually a marketing major.
Okay.
And almost finished when everyone was like, you know, you're never going to have a job. Like, they have computers now. I was like, oh. And, like, all my friends were like, but you always were the person who was, like, in charge of our group. Like, go be in charge of a group. I was like, I don't think anyone wants me to lead them anywhere. Like, I'm not real sure I'll lead us to great places. But it's what I was meant to be.
Well, I had lots of aspirations, and my dad said, you don't need to be a psychologist because everything you read in the book, you're going to self-diagnose. I have that. I have that. And then I said, I want to be a hairdresser. And he said, oh, you got to stand on your feet and you have veins, broken veins on your legs. And then if the economy gets bad, school teachers in the Depression, they were the only ones that had jobs. They might feed them with corn and firewood, but they had a job. And I thought, you know what? I ended up doing hair for kids that maybe came and their hair wasn't combed and nice. And I also spent more time being in psychology in the classroom because you're trying to help kids puzzle through their traumas. And so I ended up getting to do all those things. But my dad's remembrance of his experience in a classroom was teachers did sit. In those old days. And I have never been a teacher. I didn't even have a desk at Prescott. You know, we didn't have a desk in there. I didn't never sit down. I mean, how can you? You're walking around assessing how they're learning and moving. So, yep, I got the veins to prove it. Standing on my feet many years.
Yeah. And what I found, and it's partly a loaded question because I'm always looking for people to bring into teaching. I'm always trying to figure out how, and I can find people who set out to be teachers from the beginning. I mean, they show up. They show up as freshmen, but most of late, it's people who are coming from another profession, or they always wanted to be a teacher, but somebody convinced them to be a nurse, and they did nursing for 10 years, and they call, and they're like, well, I really just wanted to be a teacher. And so I'm ready to jump back in. So I'm always interested in hearing and trying to help understand how people got into teaching and figure out how we can get more people. So that's one of my follow-up questions is how do we get more people into teaching? Obviously, there's a shortage and there's a lot of negativity. There's a lot of rewards with teaching, you know. And so how do we sell that? How do we pitch that to 18-year-olds? Or to people who are working at Fleet Guard, who are engineers and they're ready to retire, but they want to teach math for a little while before they retire. How do we sell that?
I just think that our classroom should be more open, like truly, so that if you ever wonder what is it like that you have that opportunity, sign up. You can do like not so much student teaching, but where you just get to come and observe to see, is it really what I think it is? Because you have like we have high school kids who come in and they're job shadowing and they will say, oh, I didn't realize it was so much work. I don't remember it being like this. I'm like, yeah, it's a lot of work. Like, you know, like as a kid in a classroom, you think, oh, my teacher, she doesn't do anything. Like,
makes it look easy.
Yeah, she just, it's just no big deal. But like now looking back, I'm like, gosh, she's exhausted, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I think it would be an eye opener if they had the opportunity to go in and actually see what it is to see if that's something they would enjoy. And I wish that's something I could have done in college. Maybe your first semester of school, you had to do so many job shadowing opportunities before you said, I'm going to be a teacher, or I'm going into marketing, or I'm going to be a doctor. Because, yes, that nursing sounds great until it's time for you to have to do stuff. And you're like, yeah, no, I don't want to do any of that. You know, like, you don't know till you're there.
Mm-hmm.
And
if you're coming from, like, a really small area that you only know, my dad's an auto mechanic, that's all I know. You don't know what anything is until you've gotten to witness it.
I think there's surprises in every job, though. You go into engineering, you're like, whoa, I didn't know it was this. You know, when it's too late. But like she said, to get them in there, some kind of program that gets them in there early, and they can see that, yeah, it is hard, but there's so much fulfillment that comes internally, and you start seeing a purpose. Like if you're mission-minded, like I want to make the world a better place for my children, my grandchildren, and my nieces and nephews, you start feeling your heart pulled toward a purpose and not a paycheck. Because you're going to get a paycheck in any of those jobs. But do I feel like I'm achieving a higher calling? And, you know, just like she said, get in there and sample, you know, different. And not just one teacher. They need to visit multiple, because one teacher you observe may really inspire you, like, that's what I want to do. So multiple experiences, I think, early. And they are doing that in middle school some. They'll let them at an earlier age be thinking about it. So that's been helpful, I think.
Yeah, I feel like the career exploration programs that we have, and I talked to Misty Briggs, she was here, and we talked through what some of the curriculum looks like, you know, with seeing that those different jobs. I grew up in a very rural town, and so, you know, there were things that I didn't even understand. I didn't understand what an engineer was. And it wasn't, it was just not something, again, you know, that exposure partly, but just understanding careers and the different opportunities you have, I think it makes a huge difference. And it would be nice if we could convince the teachers of that, you know, the people that want to go into education, give them that exposure a little quicker. The TAPS programs are not as popular as they should be. You know, they're in the high schools and students have the opportunities to do those. But unfortunately, the enrollment is not great.
Do you think it's the pay?
I think that's a piece. I think there are a lot of factors, but I think that's a piece. It's discouraging in a sense. Well, let's take a short break, and then we'll come back and talk a little more about Allgood. Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm your host, Jeremy Wendt, talking with Allgood faculty and staff. So we were just talking off air about some of the day-to-day routines and some of the fun things. I'll rephrase the question. So what does day-to-day look like in your classroom, and things that we can talk about on the radio? I have heard stories. We've heard lots of stories over the years. But so what does it look like day-to-day in your classroom? Second grade, you said third grade.
Third okay. grade. So our morning starts out with RTI, which is our reading intervention. So I have the a tier one group, which is the high-level group. And so we do chapter books and morphology and we do some skills and some things like that just to enrich and encourage and to grow them past what they are. So I may have someone in my classroom in that group who reads on an eighth grade level. So I'm trying to, you know, get them to grow and encourage them to continue to read and improve their vocabulary and all that type of stuff. And then we'll move on to ELA, which is English Language Arts, CKLA, things like that. This year we have lunch, recess, and encore in the middle of our day, and then we come back and we'll do math. So that's kind of how, and then we dismiss. That's kind of how my day goes. My kids are in the floor all the time. I'm standing on top of my desks. We're moving around. We're going from corners. We're singing. We're doing chants. My kids do a lot of group work in the floor. They do independent work because you have to do independent work. You have to be able to do it on your own. But in my classroom, I really want them to understand soft skills and be able to communicate with each other and be able to team, work together as a team, and to be able to get along and work together and accomplish a goal and be able to communicate with each other appropriately, be able to take constructive criticism, challenge each other, push each other. I facilitate. I don't stand up in the front like the old teacher and just word vomit. I will ask questions and I'll be like, okay, so why do you think that? Do you agree with her? Do you disagree? Tell me why. And in my classroom, you also have to stand up to talk. So if you have a question or you want to contribute, you have to stand up and the whole class has to turn to you and show them the respect that you deserve. And then they can have that conversation with you. And I mean, I just let it go. And I just kind of interject questions here and there to get them down the path that I want them to go. But it's a lot of self-discovery in my room. I don't just stand up and lecture. It's not me doing the talking. You come into my classroom, it's messy. I don't know where things are a lot. I do know. It's organized chaos. I know exactly where it is, but you probably couldn't find it if I asked you to find it. But I know where it is. And my kids are learning actively. And I'm just walking around and making sure that they're doing what I want them to do, and I lead them.
And everything on her walls are student created. Yes. It's not you're going to walk in and see this little bulletin board. It's like butcher paper where the kids have scoped out and sketched out what they're learning.
We start a new unit with discovery. Like I will pose a question and I'll say, okay, Like, for example, when we start division, I'll have multiplication charts that hang up, and they've created their own multiplication strategies. And I say, get those charts, get that same problem, and you're going to create division strategies on your own. And I'm not going to – it's not me, it's you, so let's see what you got. So what can you come up with your group members and your partners, and let's go from there. And they work, and they talk, and they figure it out. It's really impressive to see what they can do on their own when you give them the opportunity to struggle mm-hmm. productively and to learn on their own.
And mm-hmm. – my best teaching buddy from Prescott, Tabitha Savage, she was a math guru, and we did this math thing with University of Pittsburgh Research Project for 3 years, and she said, because I did teacher observations, and she did as well when we were part-time Prescott and part-time teacher observers, and she said, if they're not mathematically, mentally exhausted at the end of your lesson, you did not do justice. They should be, if they're just calm and ready to move on, you did not push their brain to the mm-hmm. point.
I always tell my kids, if your brain isn't sweaty, then you've not learned. And if you're not struggling, you're not learning, because kids don't think that, they think if they're struggling, it's wrong. They should not struggle. And I'm mm-hmm. like, struggling is learning. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really, really is.
She has the scores to support it, longstanding, mm-hmm. so what she does works.
Mm-hmm. Well, and to me, In the real world, you know, things that you struggle with, you learn from.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in whatever aspect that is, whether you're changing the oil in your car or whatever thing that you're doing that's real world outside of the classroom, there's going to be a little struggle.
Mm-hmm. Fail forward.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, you do. And I'm really good at taking things apart. Not so good at putting them back together. You know, it's one of my specialties. And so there's a lot of struggling in there along the way. So I would enjoy the learning in your classroom.
They're so proud of themselves when they've struggled through something and they've figured it out together as a group or with a partner or even independently. And just the looks on their faces and the pride that they have in themselves, it's humbling to see that, you know, you've watched a child figure something out, and you've helped them, but you've also not spoon-fed it to them. I've mm-hmm. let them figure it out, and they feel proud of themselves, and they feel a sense of accomplishment.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, that's, you know, it's a piece of your personality, and that's what I love about teaching, is that even though so much of it is very dictated, we still have the ability to put that piece of our personality into the classroom, and to me, that's kind of what makes it special. Is still having some flexibility to do that. I think we need more than what we have, but that's a different discussion for a different day.
With different people.
Yes, correct, with different people.
We'll be back behind you cheering you on.
There we go. Yeah, bring it on.
Well, my day looks a little different. I teach kindergarten, so we basically are learning everything. We are learning how to walk in the building, how to put a backpack away. So the first 9 weeks, it is Groundhog's Day. We have the same people who cry all day, every day, you know, mm-hmm. but we're celebrating our moments when we get there. But we just start with phonics. That is where we're starting. And we are basically starting with, what does this look like and what sound is it? We don't even say this is the letter A. We start with, this is A. Like, we don't do letter sounds till the end of the year. Letter names. We start letter sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are learning letter sounds. They learn a letter every day and how to form that letter. And so with, like, we have a worksheet and they have to practice their handwriting, and I make up little chants of how you're supposed to form the letter so that we're forming it correctly and not starting from the bottom. We start from the top. And, like, as they do them, I make them say the chant out loud. And then once they finish a row, they lay their pencil down. And then when everyone's ready, they have to pick up whatever color highlighter they choose, and they have to circle their favorite letter. And then they have to look at someone who sits beside them, and they have to talk about why this was their favorite letter of the whole one. And, like, for some, they'll be like, well, at the beginning, it's very entertaining of what their favorite is because they don't know. And so mm-hmm. I'm trying to teach them without, like, stepping on them of how to do it. But then we get after Christmas, they have to swap, and they'll say, this one's my favorite because you formed it this way, or you need to work on this because it doesn't do what we talked about. And so as the year progresses, they get better with it. And so from there, we then go to RTI, which is our leveled, which I had tier 3, which is the lower tier. It was a really good time. I had 5 friends in there, and we had to do lots of brain breaks. We would do a couple letter sounds, and we'd have to get up and dance. We'd do a couple letters. I mean, it was it's a good time. Miss Gawkin can attest. She walked in
fidelity
there.
Fidelity checks.
Yes, yes.
And so, but you know, they would make gains and they would be so proud of themselves. And so we would celebrate and cheer every if someone got a letter correct. Which to other teachers, they're like, "What do you mean they only got a letter?" I'm like, "Listen, we've been at zero for the last 12 weeks. We got to three. We're good." Mm-hmm. So it's just kindergarten's a little different. We have to celebrate as we're going.
Mm-hmm. And so, and you have to, I think one of the things that people don't really realize is that you have to teach them everything.
Everything.
I mean, you mentioned they have to pick up a highlighter to highlight. I mean, you have to teach
how
them,
to
teach them what a highlight
off.
Is.
Yeah. How to twist the lid off.
Yeah. How to wash their hands.
Yeah.
Like, and like, I don't think people realize in kindergarten there's, we're not just learning school. We're learning like
life.
Everyday
everything.
Things.
Right, right.
So
you can't just punch your friend if you don't like
and like
the
we
game
even,
they're playing.
We even talk about how to play on a playground.
Mm-hmm.
Like they have no clue.
Mm-hmm.
And so kindergarten life's a little different.
Yeah.
And so we do all the academics, but then we're also shoving in some like, here's how
life
you walk
skills.
In the hallway.
Yes.
You can't touch your friends. You have to, you know, all the things.
All the things, yeah. Well, okay, well, let's take a short break, and then we'll come back, and I want to hear a little bit about your day-to-day as an assistant principal. Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm your host, Jeremy Wendt, talking to the Allgood faculty and staff. So we've talked through a little bit about what your all's day looks like, just a slice. I know that could be its own. You all could literally have
talk about that forever.
Have your own show to talk about the ins and outs of kindergarten and third grade
sometimes
teaching.
I think there's a camera in our room and we might have our own show. We don't know about
have it anyway. Yeah. So Ms. Gall, let's talk a little bit about your day as assistant principal, because I know that kindergarten, third grade, people don't realize, and you all made a good point about it would be nice if somebody could just spend a day, and not a day as a substitute teacher, but just observing, a fly on the wall, just to know all of the things that you do that teachers, especially teachers with little experience, make things look so easy, all those things that go on behind the scenes. And so as an assistant principal, I know that you probably don't get to sit down. First of all,
rarely,
maybe 45 seconds
unless
to check
I'm
your
typing.
Urgent email, yeah. You know. So what else, what does your day look like?
Oh, my favorite part of my day. I get there at 6:30 is usually my goal. And the secretary and I are like, okay, what was our trouble spots? What gave you the most stress? What do we need to fix to make it better? So we just kind of think through the day. And my favorite part is 7:15 is when we open the doors. Oh, my goodness. When I had COVID and was gone for weeks, I missed it immensely. All the kids come flooding in the door, "Miss Gall," and they hug you. And like I tell people, the reason I keep Facebook and add my families, a lot of people don't, when they walk in, I'm like, "Ah, did you get a new dog?" Or, "I saw it was your brother's birthday. Did y'all have a cake?" It's my connective piece. So I'm looking to make connections with the students at 7:15 until 8 o'clock. Now, starting about 7:45, it gets a little rocky because lots of parents are coming in needing this or that. So that's kind of how the day starts. It's my favorite part. And then once announcements get going, I always have a schedule of, like, if I have teacher observations that I have to commit to go observe. Then I also have fidelity checks for RTI that are required by the federal government to see if they're executing and using the programs that are design research-based. And then we also, with the CKLA curriculum, we have to do IPGs using the instructional practice guide, seeing what core action steps are strong, and then look for trends like, does third grade, do they really have a strength in this, and where are the deficits? So it's analyzing moments, whether it be RTI or IPGs or in observations. It's just trying to find how it all meshes together. Another favorite part is when I get to go in and model teach sometimes, second grade, because I taught second grade 20 years. That's usually the grade I go in. I just like, "Oh, can I sing them a song about verbs?" And right in the middle, they're like, "Sure." But because I do love teaching, I always loved it. But I love now getting to help teachers from a bird's eye view. If I'm sitting in the back of the room, or I'll video their lessons so they can look. I used to type them, but now I'm like, I know you don't want to watch yourself, but what you think you see and what you might see that you didn't see through the video lens is, oh, I didn't realize that that child was never engaged verbally. And they looked, compliance is not the same as engagement. And just because they're looking forward and not talking doesn't mean they're engaged. So I'm always, always looking for little ways when we have the post-conference or right in the moment, sometimes before I leave, I said, hey, I have the greatest idea that will fix that right now. We don't even have to wait to meet because I'm like, I don't want to wait a few days. I want to help them now. So my favorite thing is helping teachers be better, even if they're the best. And just really not that I'm an expert. I've just done it a long time, and I've watched thousands of observations because I was Capshaw's first evaluator for the year the rubric came out, and they moved me every year. So I've watched every school but Monterey for a year, and their teachers. So I have a plethora of my own ideas, their ideas, and then I'm like, you don't have to do these, but do you like any of those ideas? And then I gain from all the all good teachers. So I'm the lucky one. I have like, man, if I could go back in the classroom, I have like things that Jill does or, Keisha or any of them. They all have little specialties that are exciting. And so that's a big bulk of my day. And then there's IEPs, 504s, S teams, parent drops in. And my least favorite job is they will tell you we have about 75 jackets once the heat passes a week.
A week?
In the front hall. And we'll announce, we'll lay them out, and we'll say, if you put your name in them, we'll get them back to you. Well, parents come in, can I dig through all those? So after I've crammed them all in the bag, they want to look. So I don't like looking for jackets. And it's every school I've been at, it's been a problem. So if anybody has a great fix to how to get kids to keep up with their jackets, I'm game.
No.
Send it my way. So, I mean, I do kids, I do adults, I do teacher stuff, do things that are just ritualistic, but I try to look for the why and learn to appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. But, and be involved in so many aspects. One of the prior guests that I talked to, we were talking about job-embedded candidates and you know, new teachers who are just getting started. And one of the discussions that we had was how nice it would be if a brand new teacher could have a week to just go to different classrooms in the building.
Mm-hmm. We've talked
and
about
just
that.
Just spend 3 hours, 2 hours with all the different teachers just to have some exposure to all those different skills.
Yeah. We have our mentoring program. Ms. Zanardi is really good of helping make sure our new teachers get to go and kind of see what other classes and other teachers do. Like if there's a teacher who is really well with something, she'll be like, you need to go watch her. She's a great whatever.
Or I'll suggest to Hunter, the minute I'm in the room and I'm like, she needs to go watch whoever, and she'll get with them, meet with them, and give them a sheet of accountability. Because sometimes you could just go sitting there like,
just for a break.
De-stress, right, but there's a sheet you fill out and questions, lingering questions, and then we share it with the teachers because, you know, and I said, leave them a nice note because they want to know something you saw that was. Now, we upped our ante on that this year of peer observations.
Okay.
A lot. That's been our focus this past year. So.
Yeah.
Well, but one more thing we did. We had them go teach their kids because Tabitha did that when she was at Parkview. She said, sometimes when you have kids and then you go watch her, you're like, well, that her kids are good. Mine aren't. Mm. But Tabitha would go teach a lesson for those kids. And we even this year had a teacher that went and talked for a teacher. And she said, wow, I couldn't believe my kids could do that.
Hmm.
So it's really believing that your kids can and giving them the opportunity. So that's been really successful.
Yeah. And that's a great idea, and I do think that many years ago teachers were kind of just used to shutting the door and doing their own thing, and even could be competitive, you know. But I think that we do a much better job as professionals now of sharing and working together.
We try to spread the love and make sure everybody gets to go watch or go teach if they mm-hmm. want to go teach a lesson or team teach, mm-hmm. and we'll cover their class. So we've just toyed around with lots of opportunities for exactly what you're talking mm-hmm. about.
Yeah, and it makes sense to me. So one of the other things that you all had mentioned off air was the family engagement project. So tell mm-hmm. me a little bit about that and what you're doing at All Good with that.
Well, our family engagement is really strong. Our entire building is involved. And Keisha and I are both co-coordinators, and we have several events. We have we have to have one event every 9 weeks. So we have a literacy event, a back-to-school night, a math night, and then at the end of the year, we have another math and music type night to bring in to let parents see how music and PE can incorporate ELA and math. So that's mm-hmm. really interesting as well. But we have a great turnout for our literacy night. We have 600 people there. And we dress like a book. We have a theme. And so last year our theme was Caldecott Award winner. So everybody had to dress up like a Caldecott Award winner. This year our theme is books to movies. So okay. you have to choose a book that is, and then you get to dress up and you come and we do activities. The whole purpose is to get families engaged with their children and to teach them how to help continue education at home, to give them strategies, to give them simple games with dice and decks of cards and, you know, how to read a recipe with your child and how that helps with fractions, but it also helps with reading and read a magazine, what questions to ask when you're watching a television show or when you're, you know, in the car driving down the road and you see road signs, how to encourage literacy and math at home and how to continue encouraging what the students and the teachers do during the day. We try to give those opportunities and those tools to parents through fun activities. We get tech involved. We have the basketball team comes out a lot. The golf team is phenomenal for us. They come out all the time, and they're dancing with the kids, and it's just getting tech involved. We've had the physics department come out before, so we try to get other community members to come out and work with us and get involved and help the kids do little fun activities. But the whole point is that the parent does the activities with the kids. Now, I'm going to tell you, the athletes really want to get involved and they really want to help. So the parents sometimes just kind of stand back and let them help. But when they're with their grade level doing their activities, the parents are doing it with their students. And so they're kind of getting a little bit of what it's like to be a teacher. So, and we really just try to encourage that. The All Good Fire Department is great to us. They help supply things during Literacy Night in October because we do it right before Halloween. We've had to change it thanks to Tex Purple Palooza stealing all of our kids away. But we've had to change it, so we do a little bit early. But the fire department comes out, and they're there. They stay, and they do s'mores with the kids. It's just a really fun little – not little anymore, but it's a big community event for us.
The problem with mm-hmm. the other one, I think, is at math night, that's when team sports
The OBC basketball is really, so we have to kind of, so it's this like, year we're doing mathletes versus athletes. So okay. you can either be a mathlete or an athlete. And so Tech's going to come out. We'll see who all gets to come out then, but they'll come out and do things with the kids and, you know, just kind of get involved. And I think, too, sometimes I'm like, you know, I would love for, you know, when Tech comes out, for them to be like, hey, so-and-so is there tonight, or so-and-so, can we go watch them play basketball, you know, next weekend, and then get our kids out there and kind of build that relationship, that community bond with the Tech. And, you know, so I think that's kind of good, too, because the kids want to see that. They want to go see their friends that they played basketball with in the gym. Actually, I play basketball, so.
We're pretty sure. Creative
yes.
yeah. trio. We're yeah. like,
and woo! Also, it gives explosion. The opportunity too, because we posed the question before. I taught third grade for a little while, and we posed the question of what's your favorite university? Like, I had kids saying Baxter University. I was like, I'm not real sure about that one, but that's a great idea.
Yeah.
You know, like they don't know. But then when we do have Tech come to these events, then we're like, this is Tech.
This
and they're
is
like,
college.
Oh, you know, like, they
and
don't
they
know.
Understand
they're
it a little more.
But then so it makes that connection. So then the next time you say, well, what's your favorite school or university? Oh, Tennessee Tech. Like, you know, just because they now have a connection.
We right. have some very right. explosive ideas. We just need funding. Yes. Anyone that'd like yeah. to donate to All Good Elementary?
We yeah. love to dress up for all these
We
events.
Do dress yeah. up. Like
we were president.
Yeah, last year
time.
I was Abraham Lincoln and you were George Washington. And we dress up
it was
every
during
year.
The election.
We've been Where's Waldo? What else yeah. have we been?
I don't even remember.
We've worn, my husband's in the Air National Guard, so we've worn his uniform, Top Gun outfits before, and we love nothing more.
We like a good theme.
A good theme to have a good time. I get bored and she gets bored.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
I can't be bored.
yeah,
I cannot
that's
be bored.
Good. That's
so
good.
The busier we are, the more creative the idea is, the more hands-on it is, the more active it is, the more it requires us to stay after school and create, mm-hmm. the better it is for
and
us.
And the best is our kids will say, what are y'all going to be? And we're like, you have to show up.
You have to be there.
We don't tell
any,
like,
yeah.
we
don't
no
tell
one.
anybody. No,
like,
one
no one knows what we are until we walk in. Like, we came born in the USA while we were dressed as our presidents.
To get them all engaged. Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're doing a lot of fun things.
We do.
It's exciting. It's good
to enjoy it.
To bring the community together.
We want
to
make it fun so that everyone else wants to be involved.
Yeah. Well, very good. Well, we've reached the end of our time. So I appreciate y'all coming out and chatting. And hopefully we'll get to chat again sometime soon.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you all.